friend is the middleweight champion of the tenor saxophone. What a great moniker to have. Hank Mobley, my friends.
Hank Mobley.
That right there is the album Workout. And as I was saying, kind of romanticizing, I love those older albums from this 50s era. He's just crouched on the ground, bottle of beer, shades, just lit a smoke, little tuft of smoke in the air. His sax is laying on a chair in front of him, and he's just looking down, thinking about jazz thoughts. It's great.
Jazz albums, especially from that era. I don't know how to explain this quite, but you can always tell when you're looking at a classical album, because it has a tendency, not always, not exclusively, but to generally classical albums, classical music, have a tendency to revere the arts.
Yes.
Okay, especially the arts of, depending on whether you're looking at classic, here we go, you start listening to classical or romantic music, the various genres of what we call classical music, the art of the cover tended to follow, you know, the romantic or the impression, you know, they might throw in a Monet or something like that. But jazz albums had a, especially in the 50s and the 60s, had lots of shadow.
There was something,
almost a noir look to them.
You know what it was? It was that whole Hitchcockian thing. It was like there was a simplicity that went into it.
Yeah.
But there was also like I haven't really thought about this album cover all that much until we really were getting ready to go on. And there is a profundity that goes into this. I mean, it seems awfully simple. Your eye can scave over it. Okay, he's smoking, he's sitting, but he's backstage, he's thinking, he's in the moment, and that there's just something awfully profound about what he's doing.
Yeah, it was the monochromatic medium.
Yeah.
That sometimes the starkness of the monochromatic medium was very powerful.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons why I think early television had such an influence on me.
Yeah.
Because darker or more serious or reticent subjects tended to stand out from the screen as well as it does in music.
Right.
Really, to get the point across here, there's no mistaking it, usually, depending on the kinds of shadows that you see, whether or not this is a pensive moment or not, you
right,
know?
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
The one thing that I always find interesting about these albums, too, is the lettering. Like, his name is in orange and so is Workout. It just punches out. It's like there's a flair to it. There's a color that just comes out.
Well, that and for the eclectic arts, there seems to be less interest in looking commercial. As a matter of fact, for more arty and less commercial.
Yeah.
I refer to the 1970s rock and roll albums sometimes when I want to see album art, because some of that stuff was just amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
But then you look at this, and I would call it minimalist.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's very avant. It's very artistic the way they delivered it. And it is. It's non-commercial. There's nothing staged about this other than it's a good photograph and they laid some text over it. That's it.
Speaking of monochromatic stark, your voice seems to be holding up.
Yeah, I had a couple Soria moments here in Kansas City. We're having a rough go here at the end of the year. And as much as I love these Royal Soria, it gets me... Miles looks up.
You were saying earlier you saw the headline on that, who they were picking for the pitcher, and you started.
I was at the stadium, and Soria was running out, and I didn't say anything. I just kind of was starting to put my hand up to my head. Miles looked up and said, "Daddy, you okay?" And I said, you met Salvador Perez and got a baseball. You're going to be okay, kid, but I think we're going to lose this game."
Joking with him earlier. What, you were standing on a street corner yelling, "Paper!
Paper!" No, I was yelling at the paper because Soria was in it.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
That's the context. For those of you who didn't hear the last show.
Yeah, that was it. That was the Soria. But getting away from the Soria thing and speaking of things that really happened that were cool this week, I had the opportunity to see the 95-year-old institution known as Candido at the American Jazz Museum. It was packed. It was electric. And that man was a monolith of power on that stage. I mean, he was brought in with a wheelchair, put on stage, and just beat those congas. It was amazing.
It's something to see. Much of the jazz art I've said before, especially regarding the big band era, it's visual.
Yeah.
You know, you can sit and listen to the album. There's a lot you miss.
Right.
Particularly in the older recordings. And a lot of people say they prefer the 78s, but a lot of people that say that actually got to see the band
right.
perform.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But, you know, Tommy Dorsey, great recording, no doubt. But, man, the ambience that was put on by some of the great bands, and it's still alive if you go to a jazz concert.
Well, that's the beauty of what they're doing. They opened the pavilion up, and it was a free show. And the whole idea with the new director of the American Jazz Museum is open this up. They had wine and food, and they welcomed the people in. Let's see live jazz. It's a real trendsetter in this town, and I think it's going to get a lot of people that are going to get baptized into jazz that wouldn't otherwise.
So I will ask as a typical newscaster here, without putting on my newscaster voice, how does it feel to you to put you know, all these guys you've been listening to all your life, and now you've got a show where you're doing jazz? How does it feel to put a microphone up into the face of some of these folks?
Oh, it's surreal. It's like when I talk to these. For instance, I got to interview Terry Gibbs, the 91-year-old vibes legend out in L.A. this week.
Yeah.
He told me to read his book. I read it. I called him. We had an impromptu interview, and he talked about how Benny Goodman came out of the ground at the Paramount and saw his head come out, the body, the clarinet, and he later got to play with him. And it was just something that he did. He was bespeckled in the beginning, I think, but he just fell into a groove with it. And that's the way I feel with these guys. I think that it's... I love it so much. It's just, it's the greatest job. I love it. I think about it, but I don't get wrapped up in it because it's so much fun.
Yeah, you're just doing that thing you do.
Doing that thing. But I got to tell you, Terry Gibbs had to be one of the funniest dudes I've ever, that book, I was screaming out loud. I mean, he was talking about Benny. Benny called everybody Pops, including his wife. Hey, Pops. And
Benny had a look too.
Yes.
Which was called the Ray.
Yes.
If you weren't doing what he wanted you to do, or if you kind of you started playing that Chinese music,
he did not like it.
He would stop what he was doing. The mouth would go off the reeds, and he'd give you the ray.
Yeah, and then it was it.
Uh-huh.
You better shape up, and you were probably out of the band by the end of the set. The other thing that was cool about this guy, of all the things, you wouldn't think, he's an older Jewish gentleman from Brooklyn. And he has druthers about him. There's things that he won't do. But one of the funniest, most hysterical things that he talked about was he was good friends with Buddy Rich. And Buddy Rich was real stiff with his band, real kind of gruff.
I'd heard that.
So they would get into his Cadillac because they didn't want to drive in the tour bus. And he would get Buddy stoned and tell him on the road, you need to be easier on the guys. And Buddy would get to the town and he would listen to Terry and he would be cool with the band. And he did it like the fourth time he did it. Buddy stopped the car and said, I'm tired of this. Get out of my car. I'm not listening to you anymore. I don't care what you're saying. And left this guy out in the desert. Wasn't going to do it anymore. Was no more Mr. Nice Guy.
Listen to this background.
That's being stuck in the desert, kids.
Yes, it is. Talking about Buddy Rich.
Yeah.
Woo! Son.
That is.
All right. This is a be your claim to fame here. Because of the rasp in your voice, we've been giving you an opportunity as we kind of head on out here to do Tom Waits, because you definitely have the
rhythm sticks thing going for you
there. The lava lamp sound, baby.
The lamp is...
You got some poetry you want to impart to us?
Oh, let's see what we got here. Hello, America. I don't know what to do with your wigs and your politicians and all of your lies and your truths and all of the roads in front of me, but I can tell you one thing right now. I'm going to get some honey and lemon on this voice, and I won't be Tom Waits in the morning.
You won't be able to talk in the morning.
No, I'm going to be done.
You're ready to cut an album, I'd say.
Yes.
Cut something there.
Cut something.
Woo! All right.
Cut on out of here.
All right. Cut on out of here. Fade out with Hank Mobley. Name of this album is Workout.
Workout.
All right.
Enjoy the music.
You bet. Enjoy the music, my friends. That's it. Actually, that's yours.
Wait. That's yours. Wait.
Neon Jazz.